Hello there. This is yet another edition of The Word of King. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover coming to you, this time from Ashtabula, Ohio. Anyways, today on The Word of King, we're going to be having Evangelist Kenneth Wolfgang from Ashtabula, Ohio. He happens to be physically blind, but he sees spiritually, praise God. And I would just like to tell you that Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, where the Word of the King is, there is power. And he may say unto him, what doest thou? And when we speak of the Word of God, in the English language, we speak of none other than the King James AV 1611 Holy Bible. And without further ado, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, and we just ask you, Lord God, to please now use Brother Kenneth Wolfgang, as he's going to be sharing his testimony here today, as an evangelist called to be the living God, born again of your Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray now that you would take his personal testimony and use it, dear God, to speak to hearts, dear God, who have yet to know thy salvation, and to cause the hearts of those who already know your salvation, Lord God, to rejoice all the more. And, Lord, we also pray, dear Lord God, that you would take that which he is going to say concerning leader dogs for the blind. And, Lord, again, use this, Lord God, to take those who are lovers of Jesus and lovers of dogs to make them, Lord God, love you all the more and appreciate all the more your creatures as you've created them. And then for those who maybe just love dogs but don't love Jesus, Lord God, that you would cause them, dear God, to love you, Lord, as the Creator, for without you, there would be no dogs to appreciate. There would be no Trumans to lead the Kenneth Wolfgangs of this world around who cannot see physically. But praise God, even the physically blind can see spiritually through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we give thanks. And without further ado, I would now hand it over to Evangelist Kenneth Wolfgang.
Well, Tim, I want to say thank you for having us here and especially me, but at some time down the road, you might just have to twist my arm just right, but it wouldn't take much, trust me, to get my wife in here. First off, brother, even though, yes, I am an evangelist, I'm also a missionary. To the blind, we have a mission work, to the blind, God called me back in 1990. To the blind of not only America, but across this world. Jesus said, go ye therefore into all nations and preach the gospel. In Mark, he said, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes, hey, I have to almost tell Truman the gospel. Remind him who's master, but that's all right. The beautiful part is, as you was mentioning, dogs play a big part in that. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that we're to have dominion over the animals, or the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over all the cattle. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing? You notice, when he gave us dominion, that is where we tell those animals what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Now, you could take an animal, treat it meanly, treat it roughly, and you end up with things like a pit bull that chases the mailman. I'm sorry, there's a lot of people say, well, there are bad dogs. Well, I'm sorry, there is no such thing as a bad dog. There's a lot of such things as a lot of bad handlers. So, it's not the animal. Go read Genesis. I find it's a lot of bad handlers. But when you get an organization such as Leader Dogs for the Blind, which is an organization, and they end up, when you think about it, they are a ministry. They may not be preachers, but in their own right, they are. They are preaching through the use of helping people to get dogs to help blind people. Like me, those who happen to be blind, or visually, as I like to term it in our ministry, those who happen to be visually inconvenienced, to better their lives, to get jobs, whatever, to better their lives, to go down the street so they don't end up doing what I did by being guided by a sighted person who happens to be distracted. As you know, you were trying to just push my wife in a simple wheelchair, and I was just holding onto your sleeve, a pure accident. Not that I would ever blame anybody for that. Just a pure accident on a very narrow sidewalk, a telephone pole on one side, a bush on the other, and kerwham, into the pole I went. Pure accident. But caused injury all the same. But that dog is trained to watch out for those things. That's his job. And because of that training, that dog is trained to guide us around that. As you know, you had the privilege of being here during a concert we held on June 8th, not too long ago, not even a week ago. So that was just a little more than a week. You were here, had the privilege, enjoyed a concert, but at the same time had the enjoyment of watching me and my leader dog, Truman, walk through an obstacle course set up with a low-hanging obstacle, an overhanging obstacle, cones to the right and left of the path, and Truman just guided me through it like there was nothing in the way. And not once did I bump into any of those obstacles. That's his training. So, the job is, for the dog, his job is to watch for those things. He's not distracted by what am I shopping for? His job is not, what am I going to get for my birthday? What is my uncle going to get me for my anniversary? Now, of course, Truman decides, well, what am I going to shop for in the neighbor's yard? And I have to say, no. Now, who is Leader Dogs? A lot of people know who the Seeing Eye is. They are in Rochester. They are in Morristown, New Jersey. They are a school, the very first school that was to train dogs like this. Then other schools came to pass, guide dogs for the blind, etc. But the second school to ever come to be was Leader Dogs for the Blind in Rochester, Michigan. Now, as you know, there is a verse in the Bible that says, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. Most people don't even, they think about that verse and they ponder that and they don't realize that both names are actually names of dogs, schools, that are training dogs for a purpose. The seeing eye is, of course, the dog school that trains dogs to guide blind people. And the hearing ear is a dog school that trains dogs to help those who are deaf. That is so awesome. And Leader Dogs is a nonprofit organization in Rochester, Michigan. If a person wanted to contact the school, they go to www.leaderdog.org. That's where they go, leaderdog.org. Or they could contact the school by calling them at 1-888-777-5332. And they can contact the school and say, we would like to be a part in helping the school by giving a donation. Also, you could be a volunteer puppy raiser by raising one of these dogs, giving the puppies a home, and helping to train that puppy, shaping its life to become a future leader dog. Also, they're looking for foster homes for the moms and dads that will be the dogs that will bring in future leader dogs into this world. They are also looking for homes for the retirees. Also, those that are career change dogs are looking for homes. And of course, Leader Dog is always looking for volunteers. So there are many ways you could be a help to Leader Dog, but the biggest thing they always need is help financially. And the reason is because every one of their programs is free to those who are blind and visually inconvenienced, who do not have any help otherwise to be able to get around. And these are the programs they offer. Of course, their dog guide program for both those that are blind or deaf blind. And those that are deafblind, the dogs are trained to guide the person using sign language. Then there is their AMP, or Accelerated Mobility Program, where they teach those who are blind, who may not have their cane skills up to date, and needs that training up to date before they can even get a dog. And then there is their CAMP for 16 and 17-year-olds. And every one of these programs, Leader Dog pays the travel expenses. And if anybody knows about travel in the United States, travel is not inexpensive. It costs quite a bit just for travel. And then on top of that, they pay for room and board. That is the food, the place where the person stays, and then they have people present to watch over these people while they're there. And they have someone on staff that watches them, like medically, if they need care to go to the hospital, you name it. So there's somebody always there to watch over these people. So it is a very nice place. And then they also have a dormitory person that watches, like a dormitory mother that watches over them, cares for them, laundry facilities. So all of these things are met. So, and all these things are not inexpensive. These things cost. And that's where, since Leader Dog is not funded by the government, nor are they funded by the state, they are privately funded by private donations. And that's where you, me, and any private citizen can be a help. And just think, my dog Truman has saved my life in traffic situations alone 20 times. And without him, I mean, a cane cannot stop you by seeing a car. I could have died 20 times, but because of Truman, my life was saved. Now, earlier you mentioned my personal testimony. Of course, see, having a dog is great, and getting around is great. But see, the Leader Dog Organization, as I said, they are not Christians per se, but they do have a ministry. But the nice part is, where am I? I happen to be a believer in Jesus. As I said, I was called to preach. But where do I stand? What kind of Christian am I? What kind of person am I? Well, you better know that. If I'm called to be a preacher, you better know who I am, brother. Well, let me tell you. First off, as you mentioned at the beginning of your program here, you mentioned the King James Bible. Well, to be honest with you, I'm a King James onlyist. Anything else is a comic book. It's a Mickey Mouse Bible. It's junk. The ASV, I like to call that the awful satanic vomit. The New King Dummy. You got the Never Inspired Vomit and all the rest of those Mickey Mouse Bibles that I wouldn't read anyway. I study from them and see how awful they put the stuff, but then I want to get a barf bucket. Okay? So, first off, I'm a King James onlyist. Anything else ain't Bible. If it ain't King James and it ain't authorized, it ain't Bible. Secondly, when I got saved, we have to go back before that. Now, there's a lot of people that say, and you've heard the lawyers say, well, if you were abused or you were with a drunken parent, you're more likely to be that. Excuse me, Mr. Lawyer, if you're listening today, you need to go and get Jesus as your Savior. Because that's a bunch of bunk and lies. Because, let me tell you, I came from a father who is a chronic alcoholic. I come from a family of chronic compulsive liars. And I come from a family who was nothing but abusive. You want to go check it out? You heard my name. Go check out the records. They're sealed, of course, but go check it out. They were nothing but abusive, and I was thrown from one household from my regular parents to my grandparents and back and forth, and it was nothing but abuse, physical and mental. But I don't do it today. So that's a bunch of bunk. It's what you choose to be. Thank you very much. It's a choice, just as salvation is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's obviously a choice. You choose whether you're going to be saved or not. It's not by works, as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. He said, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, when I got to the Ohio School for the Blind, there was a girl there named Gloria Massey. She came to me. She was like Tim Gruber when he came here to Ashtabula, just a good old-fashioned soul winner. She had a book of Luke and John tucked under one arm. This is a Braille volume. That's the way it comes. The other one was Romans through Corinthians tucked under the other arm. And, buddy, she'd go out there soul winning. And these are in Braille, of course, because that's what she read. And she'd go out there telling people about Jesus. Now, of course, I was Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy by this time, and the reason I had joined the Catholic Church had nothing to do with wanting Jesus. It had nothing to do with religion. I wanted to do it because that's what the crowd was doing. Most of the kids at the Ohio School for the Blind were Catholic. They were going to the Catholic Church. And I got so far into it that I was an altar boy. Now, most Catholics out there know the picture, if you've ever seen it. Jesus on the cross, the blood flowing down, it goes through Mary to the center. That's a work of salvation, my friends. Well, let me tell you, if you don't have Jesus, and Jesus alone, and his blood, you don't have salvation. Well, that's what this girl had the gall to tell me. Finally, one day, she invited me to a revival meeting. I had been under conviction. Well, finally, one day, I went to this revival meeting figuring to get her off of my back. That's all I was planning. But at this revival meeting, the Lord started to really convict me. The preacher preached, "Lord, I'm coming home." And he was preaching about the prodigal son. And you know the scripture about how the prodigal ran off into the pig pen and how filthy, dirty he was. And at the end, how the prodigal came, and from yet a far way, the father saw him, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. Didn't matter how filthy the son was, but yet loved him. And so the father loved him, gave him the best robe, the fatted calf, and the other son got all upset and mad, still had to get glad again. But yet, the son was accepted. And then, what did the old song leader do, that rascal? He called, during the invitation, the song, "Lord, I'm Coming Home." The battle began. It had been going on the whole service, but now the real battle began. I was sitting there saying, "I'm not going up front, I'm not going up front, I'm not going up front." But yet, the Lord said, "You got to come home. You got to come home. You got to come." And finally, here I am turning the pew in front of me into sawdust, squeezing his heart again, trying not to go up. Finally, the battle was won. I surrendered, reeled up the white flag, and I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm coming home." I went up front. I asked Jesus in my heart. I didn't care what others thought. Because a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't go up in front of a lot of people. But I'm sorry, if you are not willing to confess Jesus in front of men, he's not going to confess you in front of his Father. That's what the Bible says. Well, I was willing to. I knew, embarrassment or not, I went up front. And then when that crowd came around asking me about my salvation, I was willing to confess him. Well, later, in 1989, I was baptized. 1990, I was saved. In 1990, I was called to preach. But thereafter, then the real battle began. Because I've never been a man of means, the churches didn't seem to accept me. But I kept preaching anyway, which is where I want to leave you now in my testimony, which is a song that was written for me by a lady in Ashtabula named Wendy Clark. She wrote the words and lyrics of this song she gave to me and my wife to sing because we're a gospel singing group. And we never take pride in this name. We want you to understand, just as the Bible says, angels are nothing more than ministering spirits and fellow servants. So by that definition is the only reason we took on the name the Ashtabula Angels and nothing more. So she gave us the rights to this song. It's called "Just Because I Don't See You." It is my testimony in a song. And so I want to leave you with this song. And I want you to listen to the words of this because it goes out to every church, every person. It is my testimony in brief in a song. And I want you to listen to the words of it.
I feel like God wants me to be all that He wants me the Lord, He lives in me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. All I want is to lend a helping hand, but I just cannot understand the cruel things people say as they laugh and walk away. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. If God took away their sight, maybe then they would see the light. If God will use who He'll use, but it's man that'll try and choose. Just because God can use you doesn't mean He can't use me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me.
Thank you very much, Kenneth. Something to think about, dear listener. Maybe if God took away their sight, then maybe they would see the light. Oh, there are so many in this world of ours. They see physically. They can tell the light from the darkness. But oh, when they come spiritually, they don't know light from darkness. That's because they're in spiritual darkness. Blinded by the god of this world, whom the Bible refers to as none other than Satan, the devil. But the last will be destroyed, it is written. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. It is written, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, and the long-suffering of the Lord, we're told, is salvation. Which brings me now to this. The book of Galatians, we're told, the law is our schoolmaster. To bring us into Christ, we might be justified by faith, we're told also in the book of Galatians. Paul, writing under inspiration of God, that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And that brings me to the holy law of God, reading from Exodus 20. From that place called Sinai, God speaks, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who or what is your God today? Your God is nothing more than who or what you look to for peace in this life and for peace in the life to come. You may not, as it were, be bound down to the gods of Hinduism. You may not, as it were, be bound down to the false god of Islam. You may not, as it were, be bound down to the false goddess of Roman Catholicism, the one they call the Virgin Mary. And by the way, Roman Catholic, she did not stay a virgin. She had sex with Joseph, and she had children to Joseph. You may not be bowing down to Confucius or any of the other so-called gods of this world, but you may be bound down to yourself. You may have the god of pleasure. We're told that in these days in which we're living, there are those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You are an idolater in the name of self, in the name of pleasure, refusing to submit to Jesus Christ and His Lordship in your life. Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was and is the great I Am, who spoke these commandments here in Exodus 20. Come down to earth as a man, yet fully God. Who or what is your God? Maybe it's money. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, we're told, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, again, you may not be bound down to literal statues of the gods of Hinduism, or, as it were, the goddess of Roman Catholicism they call the Virgin Mary. You may not be bound down to a statue of her. Though if you do, you commit sin. You may not be bound down to any statues of any so-called god. And by the way, you ought not bow down to statues of Jesus either. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We walk by faith, not by sight. A statue is something you can see. That's not worshiping God by faith. Oh, but you may bow down to that image you see when you look in the mirror every morning. It's called humanism. Worshiping and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. We're told, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To use the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God, as a curse word when you're speaking in a moment of rage, having a temper tantrum, or just joking around with your friends, saying God and the word damn simultaneously, saying God and then forsakes, like God is at the mercy of anybody. Those are all ways you blaspheme the name of God. We're told, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And if thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Have you always set aside time on a weekly basis for God? He deserves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and yet do you even give him one day? Make time for God. Thou shalt not kill, we're told. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the Lamb, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, for all liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire, burn stone, which is the second death. Thou shalt not covet. It is written, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars of their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're told, whosoever should keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all, we're told in the book of James. Now, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. You are a transgressor of God's holy law. You, having not believed in spirit and truth, trusting in alone what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we're told by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified in God's sight by the laws of the knowledge of sin. You stand condemned before God, worthy of a lake of fire for all eternity. And except you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the gospel, how that Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, you will perish in your sins. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For behold, you were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Just as you couldn't do anything good to get born into your earthly family, you can't do anything good to get born into God's family. For it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For it is written, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call upon him today.